The life story of Mabel Hampton, with Joe Nestle just helping.
We arrived
in Bedford Hills. There was,
did you go by bus? How were you taken there, Mabel?
We were taken by... Taken by bus or car?
It's alright.
Wait a minute. I was the only one.
Oh, you were the only one?
We were taken by car.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, and there was, a woman with us, with me, and she was asking me questions of how old was I.
How old were you, do you remember?
I think I told them I was 18.
Was that the truth?
Yeah. And the woman said, well, how did you come to get mixed up with somebody that like that man? I said, I didn't know who he was. He promised he was going to take us to the cabaret or something, my girlfriend and I. But he didn't do it. So she asked me to tell how the cops come to get me. So I told her, well, the fella knocked on the door, I answered the door.
We've done that. We got that. So go on.
Okay. All right. So she says, you asked me, was I hungry? I told her, no. She says, do you know how long you're going to be here? I says, well, it seems like I'll be here for 3 years. I says, but I don't think I'll be here for 3 years. She said, why? I says, because I haven't done anything. What have I done? I said, I don't know nothing about a man and nothing like that. Why should they keep me in here 3 years? She says, well, that judge don't give a darn whether you do anything or not. She gets paid to send you up there. I said, well, that's a terrible way of making a living. He says, I know it is.
Who was the woman who was talking to you?
Huh?
This woman
was turned out to be, she was my investigator. See, that turned out she was my investigator, and I thought she was very nice. So, we arrived in Bedford Hill. I went in, it was a private house. Big private house. And the man there had mixed gray hair. He was very charming. And then he called his wife in. And she says, my, you look young. I said, yes, I'm 18. She said, what was you doing? What was you doing being in the trouble like that? So I repeated the same thing. And he says, well, you'll get along here all right. And we won't have no trouble. We'll get you out. So she said, you're hungry? I said, yes. Give me food. Now she said, I'll take you to the dormitory.
Was she black or white?
She was white.
Mm-hmm.
All these are white people. So she said, I'll take you to where the girls sleep at. I got through eating. Had a very nice dinner. Then I didn't have no clothes to then give you a chance to get nothing. See, she reminded me of that hussy right over there.
Anita Bryant.
Yeah, could have been her sister.
The judge, you reminded me.
The judge.
Mm-hmm. So did they give you clothes?
Oh, yes. She brought in, what did she bring in? She brought me on a shirt, a gold shirt, and then, what do you call them things? Petticoat, drawers. Shoes, stockings. She asked me what size shoe. I told her. So she brought me a, And she says, now I'll take you to your room. She says, now remember, there's some more girls in your room.
What kind of dress was it?
The dress was a gray, gray dress. It buttoned down the front.
Okay.
And the shoes was Oxfords. And the stockings was black. So she says, now one of the girls will comb your hair for you. I said, I can comb it. She says, all right. So I had pretty length, shoulder length hair, so I didn't mind that. So we comes to a door. I can't remember the number on that door. I should, but right now I don't. She knocked on the door. I heard a voice now. What do you want? She says, Miss, what is that woman's name? Can't tell it right now. So she says, I got a new girl is coming in.
Let me just go, Mabel. Wait a minute, it's my... So they take you to this little, this house.
The house, yes, the house is gone. Now she takes the up in the yard. There's a whole little houses there, two or three doors. So supervisor that was with me. It wasn't her. It was this man's wife. She was like an overseer. So she says, after the girl opened the door, I faced the tall, good-looking brown-skinned woman. Well, I guess she was about 30 years old. So she put her hand out. She says, oh, you're a kid. Come on in. She hollered over her shoulder to some more, called him by name. She says, look what we got here. And one of the girls says, I hope she can stand the pressure. Well, if she can't, I'll take care of her. I said, oh my God, I'm in for it now. What am I going to do? I said, now somebody's going to pay for this. So, you give me that bundle of, this woman gave me the bundle of clothes that was handed to her from outside. And she... The girl says, come on over, here's your cot. It's a cot you slept on. And she asked them, what time is it? I said, what do you want to know the time for? You ain't going to bed now. She says, makes no difference. I'll take care of the kid. What's your name? I says, Mabel. Mabel what? I looked at her, and I said, what did you want to know my name for? Mabel. All right, if she don't want to tell me, don't tell me. She said, you'll tell me later. So, here's a nightgown for you. She gave me a nightgown. She said, now, there's the bathroom, go in there, undress. I went in there, undressed, put on. She threw me a pair of mules. So, I put them on. Come on out with my clothes. So she said, here is your bed. Well, I know it's in a bed, funny looking bed like that. So I sit down on the bed. She says, now don't cry because nobody's going to hurt you. And the one in the back of the room said, no, not while you're here. So I said, what is going to happen? So, of course, I said my prayers. Oh, one of them hollered, she's holy and sanctimonious. I said, well, what does that mean? I said to myself. So the one that was taking care of me said, sure, I told you she was innocent. What did she call me? She called something. She said, you must know her outside. No, I didn't know outside. So she said, all right, go to bed. I cuss and say my prayers, so I have nothing else to do but say my prayers. So I fell asleep. Nobody bothered me. Then nobody said a word to me. And I fell asleep. And when I woke up, the sun was shining beautiful in there. Beautiful. So, you say it's early. You have to get up and wash up and get dressed. Now we go for breakfast. So I got up and pulled off this cotton nightgown, washed up in the bathroom. Then we come out and dress, and we come out in the yard. It was beautiful out there. There was chairs sitting around. There was, it was just nice. I saw it can't be this great, big, huge log. And then I heard something like a bell or something. The girl said, now we got to go down in the dining room and eat. So she took me by the hand, and we went on down the dining room. Our dining room was about as long as from here to that store up there, bookstore. And all the girls, women together, must have been, I couldn't count them all, no, 15 or 20. The women, there wasn't young girls. They could have been young girls. I didn't pay them any attention. So,
What color were they made?
White and black. White and black they were, see. So I said, well, what kind of place is this? So she set me down by her, and they'll forget it, they had. She says, we have sausages and eggs and potatoes. You like that? I said, sure. She said, boy, it's good to see you smile. So we ate coffee. Rolls they had. Oh, they had good food. Always did. I don't know where it come from, but they had good food. So she says, and then we go back and make up our beds and sit around and talk. So that ended the first day. The second day was the same thing all over again. So.
Did you see any signs of blessing?
Not then, no. So later on, about two or three days, though, everybody would talk, they would whisper. So I said to this girl who had been talking, she laughed. She said, don't pay those creeps any mind. Those dykes don't mean anything. I said, what the hell does she mean by dykes? I wouldn't say nothing. So she says, you belong to a girls' club? I says, yeah, mm-hmm. So what'd you do there? Nothing but talk. Talk, mm-hmm. All right. They say, you'll tell me later what you did there.
What were you thinking when you said yes? What were you thinking when she said you belong to a girls' club and you said yes? What were you thinking of?
Well, I just thought that it was an ordinary club at that time.
You had belonged to a club?
Yeah, but there wasn't no... I don't know whether it was lesbians or not, but I had messed around with a couple of girls, see, in Jersey City. So, I was one night, I said, here, I'm up here by myself for 3 years. So, the man come up, on the fifth day, he come up, this same white fella, and he says, hello, little girl. He says, you want to write any letters home? I says, no. You ain't got nobody to write to? No. I said, I'll think about it. So I thought about Maud, see. And Maud and I had been friends. We went to bed and, you know, had a nice time. So she says, so the wife, he comes up on a Sunday. She said, you want to go to church? I said, uh-huh. Said, what are you, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, or what? I said, now I got to say something. I looked around the room. Us is Methodist. Is he sure? I says, I go to all of them when I think about them. So she says, all right. So she says, now, well, I had your clothes pressed and everything, you can go with me. I said, you gonna take me? She said, oh yes, I'll take you. Soon as she did, and there's a Methodist, minister there, and he was very nice too. Then we come on back, we sit out in the yard, looked at the flowers. There were the girls, this same girl said, you want to go for a walk? I says, no, I don't want to walk. She says, why don't you talk? I said, I have nothing to say. She says, well, all right, you and I started walking. So we started walking. She took my hand and guided me along. She says, any of the girls up here you like? I looked and I said, what is she trying to dig out of me? I says, no, outside of you and the white woman down in the office. He said, all the women likes her, because she's nice, and also her husband. So as we went on down, someplace or another, I don't know whether it was a pool or what it was, but we sat on this thing, and there was all water there. He'll say, can you swim? I says, no. She says, either can I. We'll sit here and talk. So she said, you don't know me. She says, my name is Ruth. What's here? She says, I know yours. You're Mabel. She says, still, I haven't got your last name. Well, I'm not going to tell her my last name because I didn't want nobody to know I was there. I didn't know what they would do and what they would say. So she says, put her arm around me and says, I like you. I said, yeah. All right, I said, I like you too. You know, that makes much better. So she says, you want to come and sleep in my bed tonight? I said, I don't know. Oh, she said, you'll come and sleep in my bed. So I went back from that. That's after church. We went back. So you want to eat anything? I said, oh, no. She said, well, I won't eat anything. Wait till supper. Well, went on back and sat and play. You play cards? I said, a little bit. He said, what you play? Blackjack, I said. She said, who? I said, blackjack. Oh, you get around, don't you? Make me think those white people's lying on you. Blackjack is like poker and things like that, you know. But she didn't figure me looking so young that I could play that. Same. So
I. You were too innocent.
Yeah. So she says, well, when we play blackjack. I said, well, you play blackjack for money. She said, we have money. Have you got money? She says, no. I said, no, I don't. I said, I didn't have time to pick up any money because the people that I worked for was away. The children was in camp, and I was there by myself. Only 3 days, and then all that happened. She says, so George Norris do. She takes all the children and send them up here. She says, someday somebody's going to send her somewhere. I said, I wish I could right now. She says, no, that's all right. God will take care of her. So we had our supper, lovely supper, ice cream for dessert. And summertime, we went back out there and sat down. So she says, I like you. I said, yeah, I like you too. She said, She said, I don't know whether you like me the way I like you. I said, no, I guess not. And I would sit there. Said, no more time to go to bed. Went to bed, she took me in her bed. And she held me in her arms and she kissed me. I wasn't so big. I was little, much smaller than I am now. Because I wore a 12 dress. See, very small. I wore four shoe. See. So she held me in arms and I went to sleep.
Say the truth.
I told the truth. Listen, I don't want so many people knowing my business. Break it in half.
It's up to you. It's just that.
Okay, it's up to me. Okay. She put her arm around me when, like Ellen used to do, you know. And I went to sleep. Well, next day, every day was about the same thing. Clean up your room and talk to the girls. And then I began to take notice. This one was paired off. This one was paired off. It'd go this way, that'd go that way. So I said to myself, that's funny. I believe they like girls. I said, I have a stinking idea they like girls. I said, well, I like this one. So it went on like that for a month or two. And then she was going somewhere, she'd kiss me goodbye. So I said, yeah, I like her kisses. I said to myself, nobody else. And from one to the other, they would try to pump me and ask me questions, or pump her, ask her questions. She says, none of your damn business. So we got to the point where the girls come as making wine. And oh boy, I had a bowl of. So this girl wouldn't let them give me any wine for a long time. She says, no, she said, we're up here and you don't know what the little one will say or act. So leave her out of it. So. They were old timers, see, they was really old timers. And so she would say to me, I'm going with so-and-so down by the pool. And Mr., what was his name? Well, I know, but then it brings more back to you, you know. It's been so long, and I may have papers and things that I got his name on. So we wound up. She kissed me, I kissed her, and we made love a couple of times, and it was nice. So time went on, 18 months. One day, I'm sitting out in the yard, and this girl made dresses for me, you know, go to church. I'm sitting out in the yard, and she had her arm around me and was whispering in my ear something. And I said, somebody is coming. She said, well, are you a spiritist? I said, no, but I feel there's a man coming up here. Oh, it was a big, big, huge place. So she says, all right, she removed her arm. About 3 seconds, a man appeared. And he said to her, he says, is a girl here named Mabel Hampton? I said, yes. Why? She said, you may buy some. She says, well, what's that man's name? The supervisor wants you down in the house. And he's been after coming up here to get you and take you down. That's all right. So we had as far walk from here to 86th Street, maybe, the big house. And there he wanted me to take care of his house. He says, you think you can do it? I said, yeah, I can do it.
Clean his house?
Hmm?
Clean his house?
Yeah, clean his house. And his wife said she was very glad. So there I stayed there for, not quite 6 months.
In living in their house?
In the house. They took me to live in their house. And then, of course, I'd go up and see the girls. And the girls.
What was the reaction of the girls?
Huh?
What was the reaction of the other girls? Did they feel you?
They didn't get mad at me. See? Because they figured I was different than they were in a way. They were old seasoned women. See? Well, they was prostitutes and different things. One woman up there had a house in the city, she told us. And this house is run by another woman. And they have men, cops, and everything come in there, prostitute. And then they would come up to visit her and give her money. See, she made lots of money up there. Oh, you made money, money's mammy up there. See? But nobody said anything. Everything was a QT.
What did the girls call? Were the girls divided up into butchers and femmes?
No.
And studs and
they was, no. Not. Wait a minute. Not that time.
Uh-huh.
See, that's after I come back to New York and went back. Then I found out everything.
No, you went back.
I went back, I told you. This woman turned me in. I was to swim.
Right, tell the story. That's going
okay.
On. So you're in that house for 6 months, cleaning.
Yeah, okay. So after I was there for a while, the investigator came up, and she talked to this woman. And then she says, Mabel, would you want to go back to Jersey, not New York? He says, you can't go to New York, because that's where you was picked up at. She says, you're in Morningside Avenue. So, see, you can't go back there. Is there anybody else you could go to? I said, oh, yes. So I call this woman's name. And say, I says, I can go and stay with her. And she said, well, I'll investigate her and find out, you know what I mean. That she knows you. So, sure enough, she went away. And, I should say, about 3 days later, she was back again. She says, well, I'll write out the card. What do you call them things? When you write out so that you can go somewhere. She says,
pass.
Yes. She says, yeah. She says, now you can go tomorrow. You can leave tomorrow. I'll take you and take you to this woman's house. But you're not to go to New York. So in the meantime, I had met a white woman there, and her and I became friendly, just ordinarily. But she was a lesbian. And she had her girlfriend that lived in New York. And she told me that anytime I wanted to come to New York, I was free to come to New York. That's how I met Gladys Bentley and the rest of the women. So she says, I'll give you her name and address. She says, can you remember that? I says, I think I can. She said, because you don't take no papers or nothing out. You go out with what you come in. It's okay. So this other colored girl, she said, I'll see you when I come out. I'm coming out in 6 weeks, too. Oh, I said, yeah. She said, you give me your address, and I'll give it to someone else. Okay. So now I had two friends, a white friend and a colored friend. And I was so happy. That made me stay there 1 year and about 6 or 7 months, say, out of the three. Okay, so this woman says, around the end of my tongue, she says, I'm glad you're getting out and come to see me sometime. I'll come down and see you. I says, all right. So this investigator came that morning at 8 o'clock and got me. I kissed the colored girl and the white girl goodbye, and I was gone. Now, I know the colored girl said to me, be careful of those white people. Be very careful of them. I says, but I've been around them mostly all my life. She says, well, your life isn't over with yet. Okay, so we were gone in a car. We come on to New York, come on to Jersey City, and this woman's, Mabel, I haven't seen you.
you in such a long time. Why did you get yourself in trouble?
She reminded me of that bitch over there.
Anita Bryan, say her name, because people won't know who you're pointing to. You have to say that bitch's name, because women who hear this won't know what you're pointing to.
Okay.
Anita Bryan.
Just reminds me of Anita Bryan. So she says, when I got there, you should have been ashamed of yourself. I says, I'm on a job. I says, yes, I got a job for you up on the hill. Now, there was a colored woman, up there that I had met once before. See, and she was gay. That's all I wanted. I got up, went to they took me up to the woman's house. She said, yeah, I like you very much. She talks nice. Okay. So you want to live? Yeah. I says, no.